But I was here in the 70s, and not only here, but temples all over the world. Devotees would study Bhagavad Gita every night and Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion is a very important book because it's the law book of Krishna consciousness, and it teaches you how to progressively advance towards pure love of Krishna. Sometimes you forget that the goal is that you're not constantly keeping in touch with what the process is all about and where the process is leading. You'll just, you can become lost in becoming mechanical and robot-like, as we were discussing last night. Connected emotion is quite extraordinary. Transform nature for keeping in touch with what you're about and where you're headed. Every night. First 15 minutes or so of class would be Nectar Devotion. Read a few pages. And then the next 45 minutes or half hour of class was Bhagavad Gita. And this way everyone remained in touch with the basics, the core of Krishna consciousness. But please keep that in mind, that you always should maintain a familiarity with Nectar Devotion. Actually, Prabhupada describes this as a different thing. I imagine it to be more esoteric. Intimate sections would begin to dawn upon us of the rendered service. Nectar Devotion is a great book for keeping from becoming robot like a mechanical. I'll read a bit from everyone here in the back. I'll read from chapter 17 of Ecstatic Mind. Just the very title sounds intriguing, Ecstatic Love. You see, we have this heartfelt desire for ecstatic love, but we're looking for it in the wrong place. That is the story of our life. Looking for ecstatic love in the wrong place. We're looking for ecstatic love within the combinations of matter and spirit, or even just the combinations of matter. Ecstatic love is only contained in the relationship between the living energy and Krishna. By the process of executing regulated devotional service, one is actually elevated onto the transcendental stage, beyond the material modes of nature. At that time, one's heart becomes illuminated like the sun. The sun is far above the planetary systems, and there is no possibility of it being covered by any kind of cloud. Similarly, when a devotee is purified like the sun, from his pure heart there is a diffusion of ecstatic love which is more glorious than the sunshine. Only at that time is the attachment to Krishna perfect. Spontaneously, the devotee becomes eager to serve the Lord in his ecstatic love. At this stage, the devotee is on the platform of Uttamakarikari, perfect devotion. Such a devotee has no agitation for material affections and is interested only in the service of God and Krishna. So you can see this heart, brilliant as the sun, and from the heart, from this pure heart is coming an emanation of ecstatic love, which is more glorious than the sunshine. These are the satisfying things that Bhakti Yoga is meant to bring you to this platform. You have to understand it is possible. You should not cheat yourself out of your inheritance by saying it's not possible. It is possible, but we have to work at these things and be patient. So there's no greater thing you can do with your life than to work on yourself in terms of reviving your love of Krishna. But it's a lifetime career. It's a lifetime calling. Therefore, perhaps we have to ask ourselves, do we have it within us to go the distance? That we have to ask ourselves. Or are we just kicking around and, you know, treading water here, or passing the time here? You have to ask yourself, do you have it in you to go the distance? Do you want the full attainment, the full achievement? Do you want to revive your love of Krishna? Do you want to work for ecstatic love of Krishna? Yeah, you have to decide. Now, when you first come, we discussed this before, when you first come, you may have so many different motives. You want to escape the distress of the material world. You look frustrated, unsatisfied. Gradually, through the association with devotees and rendering devotional service, you should start to develop a desire to want to render loving service to Krishna. That will keep you from feeling like you're stepping into routine. Because if you're going to try to love through devotional service, there's no routine to that kind of effort to love. You can follow the same schedule every day. Still, it's not mechanical, because every day offers you different circumstances by which you can show your love, your service. Your schedule may be the same, but as you all know, every day presents different circumstances. And all those different circumstances are a chance to show your loving devotion and service attitude. You know, the days pass so quickly in Krishna consciousness. We go from morning to night. There's never a dull moment. Have you ever had a dull moment in Krishna consciousness? That's amazing, isn't it? But for non-devotees, escaping dull moments is a major preoccupation. How to fill the time. A major worry. I hope something good on TV tonight. How many of you remember thinking like that? Raise your hand. Really? I have to confess, my prayer of release, I never. I was in New York City for a happiness center over there. So I was in a concert this week. And I did that. But then, you know, it's a good, you know, music performance. But the whole point is, you want something to fill the day. Pass the time. As most of you raise your hand and indicate, yes. Isn't that wretched? You feel that?
Sometimes.
Yeah. To have your conscience be the prisoner of Gideon. Tell us. To be dependent on that thing. Alright, what else would you think in order to build a time? Hope somebody visits you with them. Maybe you buy
some.
Hope to meet somebody. Fast as I would. Yeah. Look through your telephone book and your address book and see who can I, you know, stir up this weekend. This thing about filling time there's something that's kind of thing that's known by active devotees, because we have so much to do for Krishna. Now, what we have to grapple with is how can we execute all our activities for Krishna with affection and dedication and conscientiousness? That's what we have to watch for. Our day is basically filled up. Anyone here that's had a filled up day? Filled up? Everyone's day is full. Now, you have to start thinking, how can we execute all the activities of that full day with maximum dedication and devotion? Can we offer our activities to Krishna? Our day is already full. Your day is not full, and something's wrong. Consult and find out how to be active in this Krishna service. But what we're trying to do is offer those activities to Krishna with maximum dedication. For example, the sankirtan devotees of this community. What will keep you from falling into a rut? Is it every day you're thinking, this is a chance to show my devotion to Krishna and make this service to Krishna to others? Give my heart to it. Every morning, prepare that kind of consciousness in yourself. You'll never fall into a rut of sankirtan. You'll always take it as a previous conviction. You can go out and help connect people to Krishna. So every day you thank Krishna for that opportunity. How many of you go to just thank Krishna for that opportunity? Every day. Yes. Cool. Good. Really good. Good. That's your attitude. That should be your attitude in going out there. And you should be there for service. It's just you want your family. Especially older sankirtan devotees. When I say older sankirtan devotees, those of you who are doing the service for more than 3 years, 3 years, 4 years. You've got to really start getting into the inner aspects of the service. This is offering your heart through that service. That's what you're saying about the religion. It becomes more an affair of the heart than just physical strength or salesman ability. It becomes more an affair of the heart. These are things you can look forward to. You have to know how to advance through your service. By using your service, you have to know how to advance in rendering public service. If you forget that, or if you ignore that, then you're going to feel like you're in a rut. Naturally, you're going to feel mechanical. And sometimes this happens for older devotees. They lose sight of the inner dynamics of bhakti. That's what their service is all about. Any kind of service that you have, you should put your complete heart into it. Often it is said that you render that service like everything depends on you. But no one doesn't. It's the mysticism of the bhakti. I must render this service to the best of my ability. Krishna is doing the service. He's offered. And we can't change it. At the same time, you know, I'm insignificant. Krishna doesn't need me, but I need to render this service with complete attention. This is how we should be approaching our devotional service. And then you'll see the world of bhakti open up. For going to go to the chapter of character of what it stands for. Rupa Goswami next describes the characteristics of a person who has actually developed his ecstatic love for Krishna. The characteristics are as follows. There are nine characteristics. We'll find that verse in here. Number one, he is always anxious to utilize his time in the devotional service of the Lord. He does not like to be idle. He wants service always, 24 hours a day, without deviation. This is an emotional thing, you see. That's why it's called a characteristic of ecstatic love. He wants service 24 hours a day. How's time being used? What can I do now for Krishna? What's the best thing for me to do now for Krishna? This possesses you. It takes over you. In this way you can see that Krishna has the perfection of emotion. I don't understand what it's like to be possessed by this mentality of must use the time properly for Krishna's service. What's the best thing for me to do now? And you always feel that I'm not doing enough for Krishna. You always feel like that. What's number two? He is always reserved and persevering. Number three, he is always detached from all material attraction. Number four, he does not long for any material spent in return for his activities. Number five, he is always certain that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon him. Number six, he is always very eager to serve the Lord faithfully. Seven, he is very much attached to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Eight, he is always eager to describe the transcendent qualities of the Lord. Nine, he is very pleased to live in a place where the Lord's pastimes are performed, such as Mathura in Vrindavan or Goa. Alright, we'll discuss one. Number one, utilization of time. That is not like some material management principle. It's more than that. Yes, naturally time management is part of material management. But here you're seeing that time management is a characteristic of ecstatic love for Krishna. Because time is Krishna's energy. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Pavosmi, I am time. Time is the eternal energy of the Lord. So, how are we utilizing it? An unalloyed devotee who has developed ecstatic love for Krishna is always engaging his words and reciting prayers to the Lord. You want some prayers to the Jews? Same Tulsi. Well, just think about this. Always engaging his words and reciting prayers to the Lord. How many of you learn prayers to recite to the deity? Any of you know that? You learn prayers to recite to the deity? Okay. Within the mind, he's always thinking of Krishna. And with his body, he either offers obeisances by bowing down before the deity, or engages in some other service. During these ecstatic activities, he sometimes sheds tears. In this way, his whole life is engaged in the service of the Lord, with not a moment wasted on any other engagement. This is how it actually satisfies the heart. Your whole life is engaged in the worship service, and you're not wasting time on assistance. Getting up early in the morning is wonderful for getting on top of your life and not wasting time. I'm sure you all know that by your rising early and getting to Mangalarti, it sets the pace for your whole day. Of course, some of you are working and you have to take that into account. Those of you who live in the ashram, you have that luxury. For those of you who live at home, you can rise and have your own Mangalarti at home. Living at home and working a job. That's a genuine thing. That's very nice. Just because you don't live near a temple or because of your work schedule, you can't go to the temple every morning, doesn't mean you can't have a Mangalarti at home. There are things you can do that will help you to organize your whole day. Chanting your japa in the morning will set the pace for the whole day. Those of you who got into a habit of not chanting all your rounds in the morning, you know what happens to your day then. It really spaced out, doesn't it? Or if it's not spaced out, it's ineffective. Like, things don't, work right. You notice that? But when you chant your japa in the morning, the day, it kind of moves on in a smooth way. As much as possible. So there are things you can do that will anchor your day, anchor your life. You're not powerless. You do have the ability through sadhana bhakti to put order into your life. You have the ability to put some order into your day. But don't ignore this ability that you have. Sometimes older devotees start feeling powerless in their life. Life is moving on of its own accord. No, you can order your life through sadhana bhakti. Then your life will start to make sense. Any questions about this characteristic of one static life or utilization of time? Think about it. Everyone here strives to be engaged in Krishna's service. You see, you're always asking yourself, is this the best thing I can be doing for Krishna at the present moment? You're always going to be asking that question. Don't be afraid that you're always going to be asking that question. Asking that question is a symptom of someone who's developing love of Krishna. You wouldn't ask that question if you didn't care. Because you're beginning to care for Krishna, therefore you're asking the question to yourself. What's the best thing I could be doing for the Lord right now? Now, do you notice, even young devotees, you can notice how easy it is to allow yourself to be locked into a mindless routine? You notice that? And certainly for the older devotees, that tendency can be there. We discussed yesterday how to counteract that tendency. Don't become overly disturbed that this tendency is there. The material world. You're practicing bhakti yoga in the material world. The material world needs certain tendencies. But it is within your power to counteract those tendencies. Don't allow your devotional day to step into a mechanical routine. Constantly strive to render loving service. That will protect you. here about persevering. These are all emotional qualities, you may notice. Utilization of time. Must use my day properly. Christian service. It's emotional. Perseverance. It's also emotional. Tolerating, withstanding inconveniences. Once you learn perseverance, you're easily satisfied with a little. Someone who cannot tolerate, someone who's not persevering, you know, they have endless desires. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Babu Shatanam Krishna. Their intelligence is many branched. You know, there's this mythological creature called a hydra. Anyone know about a hydra? Yeah, it's a mythological creature. It has many heads. And if you cut off one head, then 10 more heads take its place. Every time you cut off a head, it's multiplied. This is what our desires are like. But you don't see it in that way. You simply say, I want this. If I just get that, that will be enough. No, it's never enough. When you're perseverant and tolerant of material agitation, then you can live a simple, peaceful life. And it's amazing how you're satisfied just with the bare minimum. It's like, I'm very satisfied. Jonathan got me this this support thing. So it helps you to sit in good posture. Otherwise, these couches and chairs, you think they're very comfortable, but not very good for the posture. You know? That's the whole contemporary civilization glorifies, lounge chairs and cushions and couches, which just ruin your spine and ruin your posture, and you get bad health that way. What people think is good for them turns out to destroy them. Oh, and those couch chairs. Slumping the couch with bad posture. You can't do that with this thing. And it's shaped so that, it's shaped so that you sit properly. And sitting properly is so comfortable. So I'm so happy just with this simple thing, It's worth more to me than any big chairs or couches, If you might look at that chair, that's really comfortable. I wish I had a chair like that in my room. Right? Forget it. Now just a little thing like this, as austere looking as it is, it says, this is great, that's all I need. Sit up straight, sit properly. When you learn to persevere and tolerate of the onslaught of material desires, you can live simply and happily. Heartily. When a person is undisturbed, even in the presence of various causes of disturbance, he is called reserved and perseverant. Now, it's very easy to be undisturbed when there's no cause of disturbance. That's no great thing at that. But to be undisturbed, even when there's a cause of disturbance, that is a sign that you're reserved and persevering. An example of this perseverance and reservation is found in the behavior of King Pritchett, as described in the first canon, 19th chapter, verse 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam. The king says there to all the sages present before him at the time of his death, my dear brahmanas, you should always accept me as your surrendered servant. I have come to the bank of the Ganges just to devote my heart and soul unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So please bless me that Mother Gandhi may also be pleased with me. Let the curse of the Brahmana's son fall upon me. I do not mind. I only request that at the last moment of my life, all of you will kindly chant the holy name of Vishnu, so that I may realize his transcendental qualities. You all know how Maharaj Prithvi was cursed to die in 7 days. An irresponsible young Brahmana boy made that curse. And he cursed that Maharaj Prithvi would die in 7 days by the bite of stink birds. But what was Maharaj Prithvi's reaction? Let it happen. I don't care. I just want that everyone goes on glorifying Krishna so at the last moment of my life I can hear this glorification and in this way become absorbed in Krishna's transcendental quality. That's real perseverance. I remember when I was when Nirantara and I were new devotees back in 1973, 74. We used to go out on Sankirtan in Delhi. We used to go out on the Sankirtan and Sankirtan. He would run out the door with his book bags. Let the snake bird bite! I don't care! That was Prince Maharaj. That is good. Let this curse of this silly Brahmana boy fall upon me. I don't care. I just want to hear the glories of Lord Vishnu. This example of Maharaj Prince's behavior is remaining patient even at the last point of his life. His undisturbed condition of mind is an example of reservation. This is one of the characteristics of a devotee who has developed ecstatic love for Krishna. Any questions about this? Well, I hope you're understanding by hearing these characteristics of someone in ecstatic love is that I hope you understand Krishna consciousness is a real breathing thing. It involves emotions, attitudes, feelings. It's not some kind of dry theology, you know, religious belief. It involves your being, your feelings, your thinking, your willing. It involves your heart and your brain combined. Please don't take the activities of Bhakti Yoga to be just very inconsequential, same thing. No. You see, you open up the world of Bhakti. Your key to the door of Bhakti is through putting your heart and soul into your devotional service. If you want the benefits from your devotional service, you've got to put your heart and soul into it. You all know what it's like to strive for something in the material world. You know what it's like to strive for material goals. How many of you in your material life at one point or another really strived for something, really tried to achieve something? Raise your hand. How many of you ever tried for anything? Okay, don't you raise your hand. There you go. I study a lot in school, right? Learn all the psychology that we study that, right? You got to master it. Now you've got to do at least that much for Krishna. That's not going to get you cocky. You have to do a check on yourself and see. At least as much as you've tried in the material world, you've got to do that for Krishna. Actually, we should give Krishna for that. Krishna deserves more than the effort we gave for pursuing goals in the material world. And for you older devotees, in the back there. Don't let that effort drop. You can't just rest, speaking of that, older devotees can't just rest on their laurels.
Well, 10 years ago I was doing such and such.
No. You've got to grow in love in devotional service. What can we do now for Krishna? Very nice, probably what was done 10, 20 years ago, but what can you do now? Otherwise, you won't grow in devotional service. Things will start to get stale and stagnant. And you'll start getting frustrated and ornery and finicky and cynical and dried up. All these things, because no fresh effort. I'll become a new bhakti, bhaktin all over again. That's exciting. What do you think in the back? A new bhaktin over again? Are you too old for all that?
No, and now the drummer is Ramchand Mahi, and my daughter is Ramchand Mahi, so
you can see how much hearing and chanting you can squeeze into your day. Can't they? Oh, I'm a householder. I remember the good old days. Now the good old days can be now too. How you shape your life. Don't feel powerless. Don't feel powerless in Krishna consciousness. You can make your day. You can shape your day. There's no doubt about that. Does anyone have any doubts about that? What I see is sometimes the freedom is so great in Krishna consciousness in terms of suddenly you realize you can shape your day in terms of your attitudes, in terms of your consciousness. That it's like, wow, this is too much. Yeah. The possibility that it's too much. In material life, everything is shaped for you. The TV shapes you, the radio shapes you. Everything is shaping you all the time. Okay, you rebel against that, you become a devotee, but then after a while, you may start longing for, oh, I wish, you know, I just got so much that's in my hands now. I can choose. It's too much. I want to be shaped. I want to be mindless again. Remember how shaped your life was before by external circumstances? Desires and lust. They would shape you. Materialistic association would shape you. The demands of material existence would shape you. Then you start practicing Krishna consciousness, and you start to realize so much is up to you. There's so many possibilities in your hand. Like even if you're married woman with a child. So much is in your hands in terms of your attitude. So we shouldn't delude ourselves thinking, this is the way it is in Krishna consciousness, because this is the way it is. No, you have so much opportunity for creativity in your day that there's so much opportunity you may feel overwhelmed by that. Okay. Bhakti Sidra, he may say, well, I've got to go to the restaurant every day, I've already decided, right? So where's the opportunity for creativity? What is your answer? The whole thing is an opportunity for creativity. What's your attitude when you do that service? What's your consciousness like when you do that service? That's up to you. No one can determine that for you. That's totally your independent choice. Whether you're going to render that service with affection or you're just going to do it mechanically. When you step into the thanker's on band, it's all in your consciousness. It's up to you. It's your choice. What kind of consciousness you're going to have in approaching the service that day. So hopefully the thanker's on the devotees there and vibe each other to have the best consciousness approaching that service. The fun thing about thanker's on. You should think not only what you need to do to enliven yourself in the day, what can you do for enlivening others? Increase the Sankirtan movement by enlivening your fellow Sankirtan. First, you have to enliven yourself. So what do you say, Krishna Prabhu? You're realizing the freedom and creativity that's packed into every day? We're just discussing how you can make your day. It's in your hands. Maybe your schedule in terms of time is determined by someone else, but how you approach that schedule, your consciousness, that's up to you. Sarah, have you been able to perceive this? But you can see, can't you, that if you look at things the wrong way, you can really get a wrong perception. Okay, what do they want me to do today? Today I go to the kitchen. Yeah. You start snapping at people, right? Or you just sink into your own mind. Well, that's all up to you, you know. In Krishna consciousness, you get so much freedom and opportunity for creativity. But it's not like creativity like an artist. It's creativity in terms of offering things with devotion. That's the real freedom. That's it. reading and that we got to play harmonium and songs about Krishna. And of course, if you're going to properly glorify Krishna with devotion, then you should try to give Krishna to others. Because if you want to, then your glorification of Krishna will be sweet. Suppose your fiancé went around telling all the devotees, qualities just amaze me. How would you feel?
Yeah.
He's spreading my glories. This is real Sankirtan. Right? Now, Krishna is also a person. But he's a supreme person. He has real glories, unlike us. So, if you go around telling everyone Krishna is the Lord, the effect is unlimited. Through good association, you should be able to tell that. If you're always associating with devotees who are trying to increase their offering to Krishna, in that association you'll be able to see yourself clearly. Yes, in their association. Associating with devotees who are serious about chanting in the morning, you'll be able to see, in contrast, how serious you are. That's why the association is very important. Okay, Monday, back at 3:26. Yeah. So 7 o'clock Monday night. Go for a swim, something like that. Exercise. We'll have exercise for the weekend. I'll keep a body machine this week. No motivation for exercise, so I can dance with you. Well, exercise, I can't dance with you. I go through the austerity of exercise. So that's cool. That's how I judge a good exercise. It helps you dance with you. Well, a lot of exercise is regularly. Pushing 70. We're dancing in here, then. And then, how many of you do? I'm a lot of pushing 70. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we can meet Monday at 7. Okay, look forward to seeing you all next week.